Please listen to read to me as I read God's word from Nehemiah chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. I'll remind you of the setting. Nehemiah has been busy about doing the work of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and set that important work aside so as to address the concern, the complaint that the poor brought, that they were being oppressed and that they were being charged interests on the loans that were taken and that they were very desperate in their circumstances. He goes on, after having addressed the need for justice, Nehemiah goes on to describe his own practice of charity. Starting in verse 14. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year until the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the governor's provisions. But the former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine, besides 40 shekels of silver. Yes, even their servants bore rule over the people. But I did not do so because of the fear of God. Indeed, I also continued the work on this wall, and we did not buy any land. All of my servants were gathered there for the work. And at my table were 150 Jews and rulers, besides those who came to us from the nations around us. Now that which was prepared daily was one ox and six choice sheep. Also fowl were prepared for me, and once every 10 days an abundance of all kinds of wine. Yet in spite of this, I did not demand the governor's provisions, because the bondage was heavy on this people. Remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. I hope you've heard the saying before about being in the right place at the right time. If you haven't heard that saying before, it's a well-known saying that describes something happening when you just, by chance, are seemingly in a position to benefit. You might compare it to playing in an ultimate frisbee game, and maybe you stumble, but that just so happens to make you to be at the right place at the right time to catch the frisbee and get the winning goal. You're in the right place at the right time. Or maybe you're at a store and they announce a special sale that wasn't ever announced before and you just happen to be there to benefit from it. I was once at the right place at the right time to catch my daughter who fell out of her high chair and was going to land on her head. And I just so happened to catch her so that she didn't fall on her head. I was in the right place at the right time. In this chapter, we find Nehemiah in the right place at the right time to do good. Or better yet, God placed him at that right place at that right time so that he could help out many, many others at a time of need. By faith, Nehemiah responded to that circumstance and to that need by making personal decisions to sacrificially act charitably towards those that he came across that were in need. It was an opportunity of being in the right place at the right time, but it ended up being a very important and generous time towards those in need. Following this example and following this, I intend to encourage you to recognize how God also places you in positions to help others. And because of that, my urging to you is that by faith that you would decide to act charitably. I'm going to begin by walking through what happened with Nehemiah. starting with his examination of the conduct of the former governors. And then we'll see how Nehemiah acted differently. We'll see his conduct. Here Nehemiah describes how the former governors had conducted themselves. They received something of a salary from the people around them. And it was a legitimate salary. They had work to do. It was probably the Persian government that levied something of a tax on the people so that the governor could do the work that was expected of him to do. Each day, the governor received 40 shekels of silver, along with bread and wine, food and drink. It seems like this was a daily allowance of the governor's provision. It may have been a more extended period of time, but it appears that this is probably the daily allowance. Now, I said that this was a legitimate expense, and I want you to be careful here and recognize that it was proper for the governors to be paid for their service. We believe that God institutes the civil government and that it's right that our leaders, our rulers, be paid for the work that they do. But there are a couple of things here that you need to notice. One of them is that the amount that Nehemiah received or was allowed to receive seems to be a heavy burden. They were to receive 40 shekels of silver along with the food and drink that was supplied for them for their daily needs. A shekel was the amount that a soldier or a day worker would earn in 3 days' times. So if you do the math, 40 shekels of silver amounts to 120 days of work, all in one day's salary. And that seems to be quite a bit. And yet it was legitimately levied on the people as a tax for the work of the governor. There's something else that you need to notice. It appears that in former administrations, that not only did the governors receive their due payment, their provisions, but it also seems that the governor's staff people were exercising that rule. Nehemiah says they bore rule over the people. And the force of those words suggests that they were being overbearing in demanding money that may have been considered part of the governor's administration. And while the governor should have supplied for that his staffers also went out and said, you know, we also demand from you our own due salary and provisions. They were being overbearing and using that position and falling prey to the common temptations that seem to go along with power. That when there's power, that you exert it to your advantage. Nehemiah did not act this way. Nehemiah chose a different path. I want you to turn now to consider Nehemiah's conduct. He's already told of how he interrupted the rebuilding so as to address the complaint of oppression. But now he goes on to describe how he himself acted charitably towards those in need. In the previous verses, he describes how he had loaned money without interest, which was one demonstration of his charitable nature or his charitable acts. He goes on in these verses to give three very visible decisions that were motivated by his desire to act charitably. The first one is that he voluntarily gave up the salary that he could have earned. Not only does he rein in his staff and say to them, you may not go out and exact a salary from others. He reined in that something of a corruption that was taking place beforehand. Not only did he rein that in, but he voluntarily gave up the portion of the provisions that he rightfully could have asked for. In fact, he goes on to describe, seemingly writing this portion after the fact, he says that I served as governor for 12 years. And all during that time, all during those 12 years, I did not receive the governor's provisions. He voluntarily gave that up. Secondly, neither did Nehemiah buy any land. Here again, this was a right that he had to move back to the promised land, to receive an inheritance, to build a home for himself. But he voluntarily chose not to do so. Instead, he consciously made a decision to concentrate his effort on the rebuilding. I'll describe the importance of this in a little bit. The third decision that he made was that in addition to not receiving the king's provision, he also decided to provide for his administration from his own pocket. He describes that there were at least 150 Jewish officials, plus the ambassadors from the nations around, those people that came to serve in his administration. Guess who footed the bill for that? Nehemiah did. And it cost something. One ox, six sheep, fowl, and wine. The food on a daily basis and the drink, the wine, on every 10 days basis. Nehemiah says, yet in spite of this, I did not demand the governor's provisions. We might say that Nehemiah ran an administration that was free from corruption. They didn't extort money or take something that didn't belong to them. But Nehemiah also went further. He also didn't demand what did rightfully belong to him. He made decisions to act charitably. So what motivated Nehemiah to do this? Here we come into the really fascinating parts of Nehemiah's decision that will help you to understand not just Nehemiah acting historically, but will help you to see Jesus Christ at work in history, at work in your life, and will help you to understand how you too can act charitably by being in the right place at the right time. Nehemiah gives two reasons for why he acted this way. The first is a rather practical reason. He acted this way because the bondage was heavy on this people, he says. Because the bondage was heavy on this people. He could see the effects of the famine around him. He was living and working among his own brothers and sisters. He was participating in that. And so he could see the burdens that they were bearing. He knew individuals personally that were starving, that were selling their children into slavery so that they could buy food. He was already loaning money to help people get by so that they could provide for their families. He knew the desperate circumstances. He was the one who was dealing with the enemies outside the wall they were threatening to attack. And he was dealing with the oppression and the controversy inside the walls at the same time. As the leader of the people, he was the one who took up the cause of the poor, who represented them and was their advocate. He was the one who confronted his own people to give off the usury that they were charging, the oppression that that had. He knew in a personal way the hurt that was around him, and he acted to alleviate that. The three decisions that he made are ones that brought immediate relief. Let's just think through them really quickly. He decided not to receive the king's provision or the governor's provision. Presumably, that was a tax. And since he didn't receive it, presumably, the people had a lower tax burden. Now, we all know how government is when they have a tax and they're loath to give that up. We don't know exactly that they gave it up. But they weren't having to bring food in every day. So already there's some sense of relief that's happening. He decided to feed his own administration and didn't submit that on his expense report. This came out of his own pocket. Once more, a very immediate relief of those who were suffering around him. He wasn't receiving that from others. Even his decision to not buy land had an immediate impact. Nehemiah says that all my servants were gathered there at Jerusalem for the work. In other words, he recognized that if he had purchased land, if he were building a house and establishing a vineyard, that labor, which he was right to have, that labor would have diverted some of his people from the labor on the wall. And instead of diverting some of his workforce, he drew all of the attention towards that necessary labor of building the wall. Just think of the godly character that is in leadership. Think of the charitable leadership that also presents. He didn't take advantage of the situation. He didn't require food for himself when others were starving. He didn't require others to send laborers to work while he was off building his own comfort and his own empire. Just imagine how that would have looked like. Nehemiah coming into town off of his estates and then ordering everybody around and chiding them for the injustices that were there, all the while building his own comforts. That's not what Nehemiah did. Instead, he acted in a sacrificial way and ordered his own people and his own administration so that he could provide for the needs of others. He sacrificed personally in order to do justice and to address the needs of the poor around him. So he was motivated by a very practical compassion. He could see what the needs were and participated in a way to help. Secondly, Nehemiah was motivated by faith. He was motivated by faith. This is not some mere humanitarian aid. It is something that is connected directly and vitally to his connection to his Savior. In verse 15, after describing how the former governors operated, Nehemiah says, "But I did not do so because of the fear of God." He did not take a salary. He provided for his own administration. He did not acquire land. Why? Because of his fear of God. Let me lead out how that plays into Nehemiah's decision and how faith motivates him. You can also see it in his prayer at the end of the chapter. "Remember me by God for good, according to all that I have done for this people." Now, last week, the first part of this chapter, we saw that God himself is a God of justice and of mercy. We found that God has acted all throughout the biblical history, all throughout human history, to rise up in defense of the poor and the defenseless. We found that Nehemiah, and that you and I can act like God, act like Christ, when we do justice. Nehemiah's response here rises from that same faith. It rises from an understanding that God Himself had placed him at the right place, at the right time. God had provided for him financially so that he was able to give to those who were in need. That was part of his understanding of who he was as a child of God. He could see that God was the one who had poured out blessing upon him, so that even though he was coming back from exile, that he was coming back with a bank account, we might say, with a certain amount of wealth. And he doesn't come back holding that tightly in his fists, miserly in his attitudes. He comes back by faith, recognizing that part of who he was that God had blessed him in this way. God had also blessed him with the role of leadership. He was, in a sense, doubly in a position to help. He himself could act personally. But then, also as a leader of God's people, he could also act in a way that encouraged others to do the same. He recognizes how he as an individual can act charitably, but then also how he as a leader could act in a way that generates or that promotes an atmosphere of charity and of caring for those poor around him. So instead of clutching to the stuff of this world, Nehemiah determined by faith to live generously. He opened his hand. He opened his heart so that he could give and lend both of his finances, of his time, of his leadership. In all of the resources that he had, Nehemiah acted and acted generously. In this way, Nehemiah shows us something that we call a type of Christ. There's a way that Nehemiah points forward to our Savior Jesus. There are shadows of the coming Messiah in Nehemiah as he acts. We can see it, first of all, in those personal decisions that Nehemiah made. We describe them as sacrificial, and you and I know what that means by sacrificial. Sacrificial is that we give of our resources. When we speak of Jesus, though, when we say that Jesus acted sacrificially, we think of something completely different. There's an old joke about the chicken and the pig that contribute for breakfast. One gives sacrificially, and the other gives sacrificially, right? You know what I mean? So a chicken gives eggs, and the pig gives bacon. Well, Nehemiah acted sacrificially. He gave out of the wealth of his resources. And he gave in ways that he decided and limited his comfort so that he could care for those around him. And in doing so, he provides a picture of someone to come. Provides a picture of Jesus Christ, who gave not out of the wealth of his resources, but gave himself. He actually gave a sacrifice of his own body, of his own life, to pay the sacrifice for sin. We also see a type of Christ in the leadership. Nehemiah was acting as a ruler and a governor of the nation. And Jesus Christ is that great ruler and governor of the nation of God's people, and a governor of all of the nations of the world. And still he acts sacrificially. Jesus is that great king who does justice that we sang about in Psalm 72. He is that great king who leads in righteousness and bringing judgments to the world. And so Nehemiah acts as something of a type of Christ. And we can see how he, depending on his Savior, then turned and acted generously and charitably towards those around him. It's that type of faith and that type of recognition of being in the right place and the right time that I set before you as an exhortation and an example of you living out your own faith in Jesus Christ, your own understanding of being in the right place at the right time. From Nehemiah, let me point out two applications of acting charitably. The first I'll call acting charitably in your own backyard. Acting charitably in your own backyard. What I mean by that is that you show concern for those close to you. Your own backyard is right there, right? It is easily accessible. You know what's in your own backyard, don't you? It's not your neighbor's backyard. It's not the next city down the road's backyard. It's not even around the world. Now, God does sometimes motivate us to reach with mercy around the world. But from Nehemiah, I'm going to concentrate on that close mercy that you can show. Mercy in your own backyard. In the New Testament, Jesus answered a question from a rich young ruler. What must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, well, what does the law say? The answer, love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, you're right. You've summarized the law well. Go do that. And being brought up short by that answer, the young man says, well, just who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells this wonderful parable of the Good Samaritan. Who is my neighbor? There's a man traveling from Jericho, a merchant, and he was attacked along that road. He was beaten. He was left for dead. All of his belongings were taken. He was left on the side of the road dying. And by chance, the priest comes along down the road. He was in the right place at the right time to do good. But did he? He passed by on the other side of the road. And then a Levite happened along by chance. And he too passed by on the other side of the road. But the Samaritan who comes along, a Samaritan who is, very interestingly, the enemy of Nehemiah, the enemy of the people of Israel, the Samaritan comes and sees this Jew by the side of the road. And what does he do? Because he is there at the right time and at the right place and has the opportunity, he does good. He shows compassion. There's much more that could be gleaned from the parable of the Samaritan. But Jesus used it to ask this man who was trying to justify himself. He asked him, so who was a neighbor? Who was it that was fulfilling the law of God? Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor is yourself. Who was fulfilling that? The one who showed compassion. It's an answer that is almost drug from him. Many people have commented that he can't even say the Samaritan because it just burns in his mouth. He would not have shown that compassion to a Samaritan. But he can recognize it in Jesus' parable. Who showed compassion? Who was a neighbor? The one who showed compassion. That's charity in your backyard. That's recognizing when God places you at the right place, at the right time, to do good. It suggests making an effort to know your own backyard. It suggests coming to know the needs of your community and then taking stock of your own resources, whether that be financial resources, the resources of time or ability to do something or fix something, the resources of the ability to pray or to visit those who are sick. In this area, I want to commend you as a congregation and to urge you on. For I see many of you acting consciously and sacrificially to help those in need. Many of you are volunteering time and giving financially to support Stillwater Life Services. You're advocating for women and children in need. There's some of you that recognize the concerns of those who are sick, those who are shut in, and you choose to go and to visit them in person. There's some of you who know your neighbors by name, and you're leading your children to pray for them and to reach out to them. Those are decisions to know your backyard and to act charitably. You're recognizing the right place, the right time, and recognizing that God has placed you there. I commend you in that, and I encourage you to pray that the Lord would help you to recognize and to know your backyard, to know your resources, and then to not pass by on the other side as you have opportunity to do good. Secondly, make decisions that give you the freedom for charity. Make decisions that give you the freedom for charity. I say this because Nehemiah was not only in the right place in the right time, but he made some decisions so that he could act in this way. Don't think that Nehemiah lightly made the decision to pass up the governor's provisions. No leader would do that. A leader would take stock of the resources that were there. There would be some accounting, and he would have to say, this is what is normally provided for the governor, but I am choosing not to take that salary. Not only am I choosing not to take that salary, I am choosing to provide for these people. Now, how am I going to do that? And if he was a leader today, maybe he would gather around his chief financial officer and his other advisors, and he would say, this is how I have decided to act. What must I do now? How must I live so that I can accomplish that purpose? What does that mean financially? There are decisions that you make every day that will imply what you are living for. Here I want to talk to the college students very directly. You are bombarded day in, day out at the university that you're there to get a good education so that you can get a good job, so that you can then graduate and have the good life, right? Is that the message that you often hear at university? And then when you graduate and you get that salary, all of a sudden you have an income like you have never had before in your life. And what so often happens is you spend like there's no tomorrow. And it is a common occurrence, not just for 20-somethings and 30-somethings, but it's actually a common occurrence for all age groups. Now I'm drawing in everybody here, not just college students. It's common for you to live beyond your means, to spend more than you make, and to, in a sense, mortgage away tomorrow. And you accumulate debt that will take the rest of your life to pay off. Nehemiah didn't do that. Instead, he made some decisions to live not only within his means, but well within his means, so that he would then have the resources to help those in need. He made conscious decisions to order his life so that he could budget for charity. So not only was there some sense of in a sense, being fortunately in the right place at the right time, kind of like me being there to catch Mary as she fell from her high chair, there was planning that was involved for Nehemiah. Now, I had no way of planning to be there to catch Mary. Be sure that I would have if I could have. But there is an understanding that in my life, I will surely come across those who have been beaten, those who have been left for dead, those who are in need today. And so plan for charity. Make decisions that give you the freedom to act charitably. This is not communism. This is not a requirement of you by me to sell all that you have and have all things in common. Even that very recognizable phrase from the book of Acts is one that was voluntarily entered into to address a certain need. Communism is the requirement that everybody have all things in common. Charity is the decision to provide for those in need. And that's what Nehemiah did. That's what you have the opportunity to do as well. To understand the time and the place in which you live and to decide to act charitably. Having decided, Nehemiah put his trust in the Lord. And so he could say, I did not act that way. Why? Because I feared God. And he could pray, O Lord, recognize these actions for good. And he could, by that prayer, express his dependence upon the Lord, so that the decisions that he made would then provide not only for his own household in those decisions, but then for the charity that he had the opportunity to give. Like Nehemiah then, I would encourage you to take stock of where God has placed you and how God has equipped you. And then, out of the abundance of your heart, and out of the believing that God has placed you there, make decisions that act charitably. Let's pray. O Lord, much like that parable of the Good Samaritan, Nehemiah happened to be in the right place at the right time. You sent him there, and you equipped him and provided for him so that he could be there to supply the needs that were around him. And Lord, thank you for the picture of Christ that provides for us. That at the right time, you sent your Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to do what we could not and provide salvation for us. And Lord, having received such mercy and such compassion, I pray, God, that you would teach us to understand the times that we live in. Help us to, by faith, recognize what you have provided for us, whether that be finances or abilities or other resources. God, help us to recognize how those are given to us as a trust, that as you have supplied, that you anticipate that we would act as stewards of those resources. And God, as stewards, I pray that we would act responsibly, that we would care for our own families, but then that we would also care for the family of faith, that we would give generously to support our brothers and sisters who are in need in our own backyard and around the world. And then, O Lord, I pray that as we come across those that are outside of the congregation, that we would understand our own community, that you would give us a heart that is overflowing with compassion, and out of our own resources, that we would help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 112 describes this type of action once more as the act of a godly man. As a picture of Jesus and an example set for us to follow, that the godly man freely gives and lends. Let's stand and sing Psalm 112, Selection A.
Na, 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 na.